Hey everyone!
Hi, welcome back to Blah Blah Blah.
What is up? This takes me back to like making YouTube videos. You know, I have to make an intro.
The intro is always the hardest part, especially if you had a brand sponsoring it. You're like, and I just love this jewelry so much. You're like, that doesn't really mesh with what I'm actually saying.
It's just hard to find the right intro, but also I really like YouTube channels, like Danny Gonzalez. He always says, like, what's up, Greg? Like, he always says the same thing, yeah, and it's kind of comforting in a way when someone's really consistent. But then also, sometimes it can be a little robotic. It's a fine line.
It's definitely a fine line. I've been getting back into YouTube. I've been watching Jen Im again and her, like, food videos because it just, like, A, it's calming. B, it's different than Netflix. I feel like nothing is, like, playing right now that I don't want.
Of a commitment.
Exactly. Yeah. And usually I'm like, oh, I can't find a YouTube video in time because I always, like, watch YouTube or TV when I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all I want to do is eat, but I can't find a video in time. And then the video is not long enough sometimes. And recently they've just been like, people have been putting out good ones.
Good content. Yes. I love the food videos for food inspiration.
Too. Me too. It's like my fave.
I love Claire Saffitz.
Love her too.
Gee, do you want to tell the viewers what you got today?
I got a tattoo.
You're so crazy for that.
I am wild. I can't be tamed.
On your arm, which is a big deal.
It actually is a big deal. And this is kind of funny because I've told you guys this, but in the past I've had literal nightmares that wake me up where in the dream I have arm tattoos and they can't cover them up on set, because that is the one thing about acting is if you have tattoos, you have to go in early to get them covered up, and sometimes it takes a long time.
Yeah,
but I would always have, we're just randomly out of nightmares about that, about having an arm tattoo, and now I've actually chosen to make it happen because I love tattoos, and this one is actually special. A lot of my tattoos are sort of just random. I don't personally, my philosophy with tattoos is I don't feel like they need to be super meaningful. Like,
that was a really strange
super meaningful. My point is I just don't think it's that deep. I understand it's on your body forever, but also it's not that deep. I don't know. To me, it's not a big deal. So this is the first one that's kind of actually meaningful because my mom wrote me this note. And I've always kept it because I thought it was so sweet. It says, love you. And then she drew this heart with an arrow through it. And it says, mom. And I just love the way she drew it. And it's like a little bit messy. And it's just sweet that it's her handwriting. So I got that on my arm, kind of small. It's probably like, what do you think? An inch?
Half an inch. Yeah.
G also thought 3 feet of snow was 2 inches.
I got my feet 9 inches.
She was like, oh my god, it's like 2 inches deep. I'm like, is it?
Look, I've never been a left-brained person.
Nair.
Not good with numbers.
What's everybody's favorite tattoo that they have?
I was just about to ask that.
Zoo, you're kidding.
I was.
But guys, it has to be our matching one.
It is, yeah.
Doesn't it?
I love that one, but just to be different.
That's my favorite. I don't know if that's my favorite, actually.
I have these matching tattoos on each arm. One is like exclamation marks. One is question marks on my wrists.
I love them.
And it's like one is normal and then one is upside down, and it kind of represents, it's like that's how you would use it in Spanish, and my mom is from Spain, so it's kind of.
It's just so unique. That. Like, you see them in writing, obviously, all the time, but like for you to be like, oh, I want to put these two together and then put them on either wrist. Like, it's just like such a great idea.
And I haven't seen anyone.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, plenty of people have a heart and a crescent moon. Like, I didn't get too creative with that. So I love that yours is like actually special.
And it's cool. Small. I love small tattoos.
Yeah. Mine's probably. I think it's my Issa.
Yeah.
Issa or our road trip one. Like, I love our road trip one. We went on a road trip after college, and
we couldn't stop talking about it for a full year after. Yeah.
So we're like, let's get a tattoo. It's also like, it's our friendship tattoo. It's like, it is about the road trip, but it's like, we wanted something together and we were going to get something before we went on the road trip. And then we have this like photo of the mirror, like the rear view mirror, and they're like dice hanging from it.
We brought those dice.
Zoo brought the dice because she's so amazing. Like, Zoo gets in the car and she's like, so I have dice, I have the tripod for the thing, I have this, like Zoo,
the iPhone holder,
like, pimps out her car. Like, literally, it's like, I'm so amazing.
Do we have I forget. Do our dice have numbers on them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything, right?
Four and five.
Four and five, I think. Because it adds up to 9. It's 4. We still have it 49.
49. Ludlow.
Oh, yeah. That's what we did that?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
But that's like probably my, I love that one, but I have my sister's name on the inside of my arm. And that's like my absolute favorite. My mom, it's her handwriting. And then she has my name and my dad's handwriting. So that's just like special. That was my first tattoo, like real tattoo besides a stick and poke. And it was just like so spur of the moment, like kind of a whimsical thing. Like we were dropping me off at college and I was like, do you want to go do this? And
she
was like,
whimsical.
Whimsical? It's like, just like, woo, like, okay.
No, maybe.
It was spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did have, like, we had an appointment. Whimsical. Okay. Where'd that come from? I'm feeling a little whimsical today. I just love that one. It's like so tiny, like doesn't look like anything. Yeah. And my sister is like, she has no other tattoos. Like, she's not a tattoo person. So it's special that we like have it together. Cause I'm like,
see, that's why I like meaningful tattoos. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love like random ones too. Yeah. I have a couple of those, but it's the meaningful ones that really.
Yeah. I have a spider on my ankle too that I love. I love my spider.
Yeah.
And that one was literally.
I have a fucking hot dog. And I'm gluten free and vegetarian. So.
That's such a good one. That's such a good. But it's like looking at that, like from far away, you'd be kind of be like, what is that? And then you get closer and it's like, oh, it's a hot dog with legs. You're like, I love that in face.
So fucking
I also love your like dove, your bird with the smiley face on it.
Hummingbird.
Or hummingbird. I love that one. Hummingbird,
yeah.
That one was, that was very like spur of the moment.
Yeah.
I love that. What about you, G?
Mm. I mean, maybe now it's your this lightning bolt? One, but probably my matching tattoo with my ex-boyfriend, honestly. That's probably my favorite because I love how random that is. First of all, that was actually a day of decision because we were going with his roommate. It was his birthday and he wanted to get a tattoo. And we were like, oh, let's also get one. And we were like, wait, what should we get? And then he was like, maybe the world on a balloon? Just it doesn't mean like any, I was like, oh my god, that seems so cool. And then you got it and I actually love it.
Did she like design it right there? Because it's a pretty like specific.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
And I
tattoos are so awesome. Every time I get one, I'm like, another.
Yeah, it's addicting.
So fun.
Don't I be just, sad. Go get a tattoo. Like that TikTok audio is so true for me.
It is. So that was really fun and exhilarating. It also took like 5 seconds because it's so small. Yeah.
I know. Zoo and I went to the grocery store, like this little market, literally touching it, like right next door. And we hadn't even fully looked through the store. It's like the size of a couch, this store. It's like so tiny. And G was like, I'm done. We're like, oh, okay. Coming back. It's so good. So today we thought we would give you guys a little, not even like post-grad advice, but we're all, 2 years now post-grad?
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. Jeez. I'm always like, oh, I graduated last year. No, 2 years ago.
I know. I keep saying that, too.
Yeah.
And we looked up on Google. So according to Google, these are the 5 tips to succeed in the real world. And we are going to tell you whether we agree with them or not. And then give, like, a little bit of information or knowledge that we have gained in our 2 years post-grad based on all these things. Mm-hmm. So the first one is meet new people. This is how to be successful. Post-grad survival guide. Meet new people. Putting yourself out there is scary, but it can lead to new friendships and, if you're lucky, career opportunities.
Okay, definitely think meeting new people is such a good thing because, first of all, it's pushing you outside of your comfort zone, and anything that's a little scary equals growth, I think. And meeting new people, especially in, I think, a place like New York, if you're living in a big city, I mean, it's just going to open up your network so much because meeting one new person, if you think about it, now you're exposed to their whole group of friends. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like meeting one person can be like the equivalent of adding like 4 or 5 other people to your life. And it just keeps kind of expanding your circle. And it's so good for opportunities and work and all that stuff.
I think also, I mean, I'm probably not the best person to say this because all my friends, my 2 friends who are sitting at this table are from college. But if you think about, okay, your high school friends, I have one friend really from high school that I've kept in contact with who's like my bestie. And then you realize how much you change from high school into college, so much. And even from college to post-grad, like those 2 years that we've been out of college, I feel like we've all evolved so much. And so sometimes I think if you only stay around your friends from college and don't really branch out and like make other friends along with those to supplement your college friends, it's kind of hard because then you're still stuck in this college life almost, which can get really like I don't know, it can get like Groundhog Day kind of. Like you want to be able to grow and change. And I think other people, meeting new people really help you kind of jumpstart that.
Yeah.
And it's hard if you're only hanging around like the same people that you hung around with in college. I think you guys are a little different because I didn't go to college with you guys. Right. I did hang out with you in college, but like also G, I've known her since I was in preschool. Zoo, I met in college, but mm-hmm. I didn't go to college with Zoo. So I think it's great to like push yourself to go make new friends because then you're pushing yourself to like evolve and change and like giving yourself the space to do that, which I think is really important.
Yeah. I think everyone wants to meet new people when they get out of college. Like that's pretty much a given. I think the hard part is how to make new friends. I think that's something that I really struggled with because it's so easy to be around the same people, but it's like, how do you, because you don't have that college environment where you're with the same people in class or you're seeing people all the time or getting introduced to new friends. Yeah. You're kind of like, if you have a job, you're going to your job, maybe you can make friends that way, but do you guys have any advice on like how to meet new people?
Well, I think just like networking within the people that you already know, you know, like even like Katya or Talia or like these people that you know, like being able for me to hang around them when you invite them places makes me feel like I'm meeting new people, and then they bring their friends and so then we're meeting their friends, you know, so it's like,
or even you met Zoo through me, so it, and we met Ellie through Cicely, so it's like, it's not even like you're poaching friends, it's just that's expanding allowing you
it.
To
and then Ellie, my roommate Ellie, has like all these other friends too that we're like now can hang out with and that we meet and go to parties with and whatever. And it's, I think you can kind of like, even it, you, it's not like you have to go out and meet an entirely new person to make a new friend.
Right.
You can kind of see who's in your circle and then how you can kind of expand that and then push yourself. Like if Ellie's like, I'm going to a party with these friends that I have from college, you should meet them, push yourself to go meet those new people and put in an effort and like go to that party and try to not network, but like network for friends, kind of.
And I think, like, even if you're going to a party and you're talking with someone and you will say, like, oh, we should hang out sometime. I feel like everyone says that, like, oh, we should hang out sometime, but nothing actually happens. So, like, taking that extra step to either, like, DM them on Instagram or text them and be like, oh, do you want to get drinks or do you want to get coffee or do you want to go shopping or find some sort of activity that isn't based around, like, going out? Because I feel like it's really hard to deepen a relationship with someone if you're just going out to like a bar or a club because you're not able to like talk or like have a conversation.
Yeah. I think I get scared though. Like, I think that's just like an anxiety thing that I have. I could be so much better at that, but I think I just get like, I don't know if it's like anxiety or social anxiety or whatever it is, but I like get so nervous, like, it's going on and a meeting date. People for like the first time.
It's like a friend date.
Yeah. And especially if you meet at a party or you meet somewhere really social with other people around, it's easier to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit because it's loud or there's other people. But when it's just like you two, it's like, I don't know. I just get so, I should be better about doing that, but I just get so overwhelmed by doing that. So I could be, that's something I kind of want to work on.
I was also going to say, it kind of sounds silly when you say it, but it actually, I feel like it's a cliche because it's true, but like classes. Going to classes or signing up for activities, I feel like that's sort of why you make friends so easily in college, because you're seeing the same people every week. So, of course, eventually you're going to spark up some kind of conversation with someone. I know that for me, you know, I'm an actor, so taking an acting class is such a great way for me to meet people that do the same thing as me, because then you already have one thing in common that you can talk about. But me and Zoo took a ceramics class and we did it with friends, but if we had done it solo, I think eventually you would have started talking to one of the people there because it's a small group and made friends. And I was also gonna say, using social media as a way to make friends and not just as this horrible trap, like, I actually think the positive part of social media is kind of the extra reach that you get. And if you're, maybe you follow someone and or you follow each other, you realize they live in the same city as you, and just swipe up on one of their stories or send them a DM and be like, we should grab coffee.
It's so true. There's five people who follow me on TikTok and then also follow me on Instagram. And like, I follow them on Instagram, but I don't follow them on TikTok or something. Like, they just found my TikTok and they're all like these, it's like five girls. They don't know each other, but they're like in New York. I like look at their profile and they're in New York, and I'm like, I think I could be like, and we have yeah. a mutual friends. I'm like, now I'm inspired. I kind of want to go home and like yeah. start. I don't go on Instagram very, I mean, I'm on it checking people's stories and on it a lot. But I don't post. Like, I'm not very like, I don't have a big presence on Instagram, I wouldn't say.
You're so mysterious.
People are like, who is this girl? She is like such an enigma. Okay, but
on TikTok you show like your whole
entire day. But in TikTok, it's literally my whole day. So follow me on TikTok. I'm just kidding. But no, and I should go and go and follow these people and like reach out to them because they seem like so cool. I just,
you know, that should be a fun challenge for the podcast. Ooh. We each have to DM someone that we follow and meet up with them.
That is so, I don't follow them on
Instagram. No, I do follow them on Instagram. I just don't follow them on TikTok. But yeah, I want to.
But also to what you were saying, I think it's really important to create a routine where you're seeing the same people on maybe a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. So it could even be like going to a coffee shop a couple times a week so that you get to know the people who are there, or going to a workout class because then you'll see the same people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's super important. Also, if you have a mutual friend with someone, because I know this happened to me a lot where I would have friends and they'd be like, oh, my friend just moved to the city. Like, you should, you guys should hang out. And, you know, I've done that a couple times and it hasn't led to anything, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
And so I think mutual friends or like people that you even like knew in the past in like high school that you weren't really close to, maybe you can reconnect. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's crazy because my best friend Bailey from San Francisco, she was a grade above me in high school, and she and I were like really close in high school. And then after high school, like, we just kind of faded, and she went to school in Boston and then I went to school in New York, and we just like were on different paths. And then she was doing like a internship in New York one summer, and it went on for like 6 months. So she was like from August to June to December. And she reached out to me and she was like, do you want to get coffee or something? And I remember I was so nervous because especially when you like used to be like really close and then something like nothing happened. We just grew apart. I like was doing probably crazy stuff. Like, I was a different person, but we just grew apart and I was so nervous to get back together. And I was so nervous to like meet her for coffee. And then instantly we got together and it was like instant best friends again. And I remember like after that we got coffee, I was like, Cicely, like, that felt so rewarding to put yourself out there and look at what you can get in return. So yeah, like reaching out to people who you have mutual friends with, or people that you might have like lost contact with in high school who are like now living in your city or something, where you have that common bond or like common relationship that you can build upon, is a much less stressful way than just like meeting a stranger.
Also, something that is less stressful and low stakes is, and something that we do, is if you have a close group of friends, creating some sort of like game night or some sort of weekly thing. We do poker nights. I mean, we used to. We don't really do it anymore. But inviting new people into a group so that it's not just one-on-one, and it's a good way to bring new people into the mix.
Totally.
No, seriously.
You might find your next boyfriend.
That's actually how I met my boyfriend, was poker night. Somebody brought him.
Poker night is a great way. Friends, lovers, you know.
The lines get blurred.
Or dinner night, dinner parties.
Yeah.
Yep. That could be fun.
That'd be really fun. Plus, it's like, as we get older and we have these apartments that we're paying for and we're independent, like, we should be utilizing our apartments more. I feel like we're always, like, going out, which is nice to go do stuff. But to, like, sit at home and cook and just invite people over and make them a meal and just have good conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, we're getting to the age where, like, dinner parties could be a vibe.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, Zoo's cooking. Right. When you can't really go out with someone and have a full conversation. No. I mean, I do. I love going out to drinks with my friends. You know, if you're at a bar, that's, you know, not super loud. But, right, if you're going out, how are you supposed to talk and get to know somebody if music's playing really loudly and stuff? It's not a cozy, intimate environment. And I sort of feel like you should sometimes treat friend hangouts almost like a date. Like, what is the setting that you would want to get close to someone, like, on a date? You want the same thing for a friend so that you can have conversations and stuff.
Yeah.
It's true. Okay, so the second tip from topresume.com is make time for the important things. You may be struggling to find balance in the midst of this new transition. Adjusting to the working world isn't easy, but our advice for college graduates is this. Making time for the things that make you happy will make it much less difficult. So they're sort of saying, like, don't forget about the things in your life that make you feel good. Don't neglect your friends and hobbies while you're in that transition, which I think is so true.
Yeah.
Actually, I can really speak to this because when I first graduated, I thought that I wanted to live in LA because that's sort of where most of my work is, and my bestest friends were living in New York. And I was sort of like, well, that's kind of a sacrifice I'm going to have to make. And I was living at home with my parents trying to look for an apartment or something in LA. And I was so freaking unhappy, so depressed. I had some friends in LA, but I didn't really have a community. And things weren't in person yet because of COVID, so there wasn't really the opportunity to make friends. And I started to realize over the couple months that I was there that you can, you know, sacrifice some stuff for work. You know, sometimes you do have to do that, but having a community and like where your friends are, that's really the heart of your life. Like that is the heartbeat of your life. And when you don't have that, it really jeopardizes your overall happiness. And so that's when I realized that I think I actually do need to be in New York, and I could still, you know, figure out my work stuff from there and make it work for me. And instantly, as soon as I moved here, I was like, this was the right decision. Like, you can just feel it when it's the right decision. And so, yeah, I think those are the important things when it comes down to it. It's like your family, your friends, your community. Because when work's done at the end of the day, like, who do you have there? Yeah. Like, that is super important. So,
I know. I remember when G was moving back. When G was moving to LA, I understood her decision because I was like, that's where your work is. That makes sense. Go do your thing. But then when she moved back, I was like, okay, I can never live away. I mean, I had Zoo here, which was awesome. But, like, these are my two best friends, G and Zoo. So, like, if they move to bumfuck nowhere in the middle of somewhere, like, I am following them. Like, I am packing up and moving. Like, wherever they go, I go. Because you can be in a city. Like, LA is an amazing city. It's so fun. You still have, like, a community there. But it isn't, like, your tightest community. And it isn't where, like, you have the most fun with whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it's just crazy how going to a place, like, it can be an amazing place, but if you have, like, nobody around you, if you have, like, not that big of a community, it can be so unfulfilling.
Wherever you go, there you are. Yeah. Like, it's so freaking true. You could be in the best city ever, but if you haven't really created that foundational happiness for your life, then work and stuff only fills up so much of that. And then you do feel sort of empty in that part of your life. So
I think also I can talk to this too, because my first job out of college, I worked at a PR agency and I had no time for the important things. Like I only had time for work. I worked from like 7 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Like the earliest I ever got off, I think, was like 8:30 because I had to go meet you guys at a bar or something.
Yeah, Cicely would show up for drinks like almost on the verge of tears and like horrible. Still working on her phone.
It was like literally the worst thing ever.
9:10 p.m.
Oh, it was crazy. It was awful. And I had no time for the important things. And I was just a naive college graduate. I didn't understand really what working was. I had internships and I had worked at like retail stores. Like I always had a job, but I didn't understand. Like I thought that was normal to be working that much and to not have time for your life. And I wasn't making that much money. And I was just so unhappy. I remember Friday would roll around and I was so excited, but then Saturday I would be so sad because I was like, tomorrow's Sunday and then it's Monday and I have to go back to work. And I remember I would walk to work. That was my only time. Like that was the only moment that I could make for important things. Like it was important for me to be outside because I was going to be in an office all day. It was important for me to get out, get fresh air. So I would walk to work and that was like the only time I could make for like my important things. Which that was the only important thing that I could check off. And I remember I would call my dad and I'd be like, oh, I can't be here anymore. Like, I'm so unhappy. And then I would have to sit at my office desk all day long, like my makeup ruined, and then go home and literally I would sleep and then repeat. Like, that was it. I didn't even have time to like watch TV. I would just go right to bed and I had no time for the important things and I was so miserable. And the second I quit that job, I felt so good and I could hang out with my friends. I could go to the gym. I could travel. Like I could do things that were important to me that made me happy. And I feel like I see this a lot in a lot of people who work very like demanding jobs out of college where they're making a lot of money. Like maybe they're working on Wall Street or they're working in finance or whatever it is. And there's no balance. They have no time for their important things. And every time when you talk to them, usually they're like, I'm unhappy or whatever. Mm. So it's like you can be making... I wasn't making a lot of money, but like you can be working so hard, making a ton of money, but then not feeling like you're not making time for the important things, and it makes your life so miserable. Mm-hmm. So I think it is like, this is like the most important thing, I think, is making time for the important things. And these are the times that we're like making memories. We're young, like we should be having fun in whatever that definition is to you. It doesn't mean like going out all the time, but you should have time for the things that you enjoy, or else like life is just not like worth it, you know?
Yeah. I think there's also this pressure when you graduate college to have a job right away. Like, I remember we were graduating and the question was always, oh, what are you doing next? What's your job? How are you making money? But what I've realized is like, you don't have to have it all figured out right out of college. Like, you can take some time, you can work at a coffee shop and, you know, hang out with your friends. Like, you don't have to have it all figured out, and you're going to be fine. Like, there's plenty of time.
Yeah. That's why I loved how after college, we all went on a road trip, like I described with our tattoo. And I loved having that after college, because everybody was like, what are you doing after college? Like, what are you doing when you graduate? I'm like, I'm going on a road trip. Like, I am traveling across the country. Like, that felt so good. It's just crazy also. People, like, they want to know what you're doing to, like, satisfy their own needs or whatever. But it's like, the second you're like, I don't know yet, then they just shut up. You know, it's like,
I'm such a proponent of stopping asking people what they do as the first question when you meet them, because I just think that that says nothing about a person, actually. And it really, me too, it really stressed me. I mean, I have a slightly more like unconventional job, but my question has always been, so what are you working on next? Yeah. It's kind of the same thing as like, what are you doing, you know, as for a job after college, but people always are asking me that. And then it always feels like you're never good enough. You know, oh, I worked on a film last year, but what are you doing next? And it's, I don't know, people like live so far ahead, but I think you're right. I think it says more about that person than it does about you. And you shouldn't feel pressured by other people.
Yeah. It's also like normal to just like ask people what they're doing. Like, that's an easy question. And so I don't think people are doing it in a malicious way or they have an intent to make you feel bad about yourself, but you can always just steer the question another way.
Well, I think so many people are doing jobs that say nothing about them. Yeah. Like nothing about them.
Also, now I've kind of realized that I really care about traveling. My dream has always been to, once I graduated college, was take some time off to travel. And I felt like I couldn't do it right away because I needed to have a job and like establish myself as a person. But now I kind of feel like, okay, I've done that. And I want to be able to enjoy my life and travel. So that's why I'm prioritizing that.
After I quit the agency, I lived with my sister in Spain for like a month and a half. And just like also going from my way of life to living in Spain, where the way of life is completely different and so relaxed. And
priorities are different.
There's a siesta in the middle of the day. Like, that was the best thing that I could have done after that job, because it made me realize, like, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not the only one who thinks this is a weird way of living, of working at an agency and, like, working all the time. There are other ways to live, and people look and seem a whole lot happier than they did, like, than my coworkers did or whatever that was.
So that was great. Your job doesn't define you.
No.
We need to work to live, not live to work.
Exactly.
And I was going to say, I feel like a lot of times when your personal life is thriving, your professional life sometimes thrives as a result. Like, I think that when you're happy and satisfied with the things going on outside of work in your life, your work becomes better, whatever that is. But especially, I think, if you do something creative, I think you're more inspired. You know, you're meeting new people. You're, you know, just coming up with new ideas. And so I think in a lot of ways, you know, creating some kind of balance can be so beneficial.
Yeah.
Yes.
My therapist always says... I know. Here she goes again. No. But it's about like bringing in the high vibration things. Because when we are bringing in... Yeah. She brought this up when I was trying to quit nicotine. So
we will revisit that.
But nicotine and like smoking and all those are a low vibration thing. So when you're doing low vibration things or incorporating those into your life, you're more likely to continue with the low vibration things. Whereas if you're living a high vibration life, you're attracting high vibration stuff, and you're only going to do high vibration stuff, which benefits you like your whole life.
Well, it's like people say when you have a partner, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, that's actually good for you and is a good person in your life, things in your life start to get better. Mm-hmm. You start making more money. You advance in your job. Like, your life starts thriving because you're with someone who's, like you're saying with vibrations, it's someone who's lifting you up.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing is with the friends that you have in your life. You know, if you have a lot of negativity around you, that's probably going to be, you know, what's running through your mind. So just, like, being picky, too, about the things that are in your life.
No, that is really so interesting. I resonate with that a lot. Like, I feel like in my past relationship, it was very, like, I felt like it was low vibration. And there was so much pressure on work and what I was doing because all of his friends were very, like, career-oriented, and that was what was important to them. Like, the first question is, how's work? How's work going? What are you doing? And I didn't have a job for a while. I had the agency, moved to Spain, came back, went to Italy, came back. And then I was, like, unemployed for, like, months. Like, I was just chilling. I was obviously looking for jobs, but I was not, like...
And you felt so bad about that.
I felt so bad about myself. Every day I was applying to jobs. Every day I was trying to find the job that fit for me. But I was, A, so scared that I was going to end up in a situation like what I was. So I was picky, which is good. But I felt so bad about myself because I didn't have a job. I wasn't, like, advancing in my career like they all were. And the only way that they knew how to, like, attach to me or talk to me was through what my career was, which was so bad. And I just felt so bad about myself, and so much emphasis was put on that, and I just felt like a failure all the time. And then in a new relationship where it's not about my new relationship, where it's less about my job and less about my career and more about, like, me as a person, like, everything about my life seems so much happier because it's not like I love my job, but I don't want to be defined by it.
Right. I really believe in that. I believe when you are with the right person, just your everything in your life starts getting better. I genuinely think that. So if you are trying to figure out if you're in the right relationship, look at what's going on around you. Also, are things like going really well, or are things kind of like crumbling a little bit? Because I think that says a lot.
Also, this is like a total side note, but I was telling G this the other day. My like gynecologist or like my homeopathic doctor or something told me this, and I really resonate with it. When you are with somebody, and this is not proven, but when you are with somebody that is not compatible with you, your body is going to reject it. And it's going to reject it in the form, if you're sexually active with this person, it's going to reject it in the form of yeast infections, UTIs, like issues, like because they're entering you. So issues in that like area down there, it's going to like start rejecting it. And I remember when I was like dating this person that was totally not the right person for me at all, I would get like monthly UTIs, like a UTI every fucking month. It would come hit. And I'm like, what is going on? And then the second I got out of that relationship, it stopped. And then in other relationships that have been better for me, it's like less apparent.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, I was saying to you that I think a lot of with UTIs, especially, I think some of it is you're like tensing up, and that can contribute to like pain in the uterus and all of that, bloating. I mean, it comes with all kinds of discomfort. But I think when you're tense, when you're having sex with someone, that maybe is a sign that you're not super comfortable with that person. I mean, none of this is freaking, we are not
like,
we don't know what we're talking about. UCLA. But I do think it is kind of interesting.
It's so interesting.
You said that because I think that, the mind-body connection, I've always thought this, that your body knows a lot of times before your mind does.
Well, they say trust your gut. Like, that's not, that is your body. Your body is telling you, like, Cicely, this is right, or Cicely, this is wrong. Me getting UTIs is probably my body saying, this is not the right person. Like, you're not compatible with this
and
person.
And I think it's also, this also applies to friendships as well as relationships, because when you're hanging out with someone, you can tell in your body if you're having a good time, or when you leave an interaction or whatever. Like, how do you feel? Do you feel good? Do you feel anxious? How is your body responding to that person? And so I think that's important as well.
And I feel like sometimes we live a little out of body, like we're not really checking, like taking that time to check in with yourself, because I'm speaking for myself here, like I keep myself really busy, I think, a lot of the times. But when you just get quiet with yourself after an interaction that you want to assess, you can really feel into it and and really just, it's so, that's why journaling is so good, and just taking quiet time by yourself to be with your thoughts and feelings and like get into your body, because sometimes it takes a second. Like, I think we're running on autopilot a lot throughout our day. It takes effort to like turn off the mind a little bit and get into your body and see how you're actually feeling.
Yeah. Like, does someone drain you or do they fill you up?
Yeah. Totally. I have this little sticker. It's not a sticker. It's something I wrote on a piece of paper and then I taped it to my computer. Yeah, you already know it is.
Drop into the body.
Literally. We finish each other's sentences. I have it on my computer. It says drop into the body. It's on my like power button of my computer. So whenever I turn on my computer, turn it off, or after lunch, if it falls asleep, whatever, I look at that and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take 4 massive breaths, like the biggest breaths I've taken today, and just like sit with my body for a second. And it's crazy like how much better you feel after.
We should take 4 massive breaths right now. And
let's do it.
They should everybody do it with us. Take 4 right. Okay. Big breaths. The biggest breaths that you've taken today.
Okay. 1.
Felt so good. I was so in it.
I wonder if we were on 4.
No, we were on 4. That felt so good. It almost makes you lightheaded.
How does your body feel?
Amazing.
Because I'm with people that I feel comfortable and good around, to be my authentic self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, are you molding yourself into this like thing to fit into someone else?
Yes.
Their mold? Or do you feel like comfortable and like have enough space to be who you really are?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when you're hanging out with someone new, do you feel the need to change who you are in order to for them to like you? Like, that's mm-hmm. not a good sign.
Mm-hmm. You're, like, you contorting.
Should, yeah.
Yeah.
You should feel like you can be yourself and that they're not going to judge you. And that's why I love you guys, because I feel like you will accept me no matter what.
Yeah. Yes, except for those bleached brows. Gotta go. I'm just kidding.
You bitch.
I'm just kidding. Zeus, like, no, is the only person I know that can pull them off. Someone
who can be honest with you. Like, you guys are honest with me. If I want to get a tattoo, that's a bad idea. You'll say mm-hmm. no.
But we'll say yes to a hot dog.
Oh, yeah. We say hot dog with legs and, yep, get that girl.
Yeah, that's who.
Do you want to read the next one? Okay,
yeah. The third one is learn new skills. Whether or not you land your ideal position, be sure to learn from it. Your first job after college may not be super challenging in the ways you would like, but try to take advantage of the opportunities provided so you can develop new skills. Whether your tasks are answering phone, writing emails, or making spreadsheets, learn to master them.
Mm.
Always ask questions and be willing to undertake more responsibilities. All these skills can help to strengthen a resume for recent college graduates.
I do think that is great advice. And I think that, like, you know, for me, I haven't worked at a coffee shop or something like that, but the way that I would be able to relate to that is, for example, like going to an acting class and getting a scene assigned to me. Even though it's not a job that I booked, I want to do the best job that I possibly can, because this is a learning experience. Everything is a learning experience.
Yeah.
Okay, is it not the level that you want to be at or whatever? Okay, but it's an opportunity to just do a really good job and doing stuff for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to make a coffee, like, make the best coffee ever. If you're going to do a scene, like, do an amazing job for yourself because you feel good.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I even think this was actually in my what's in for this year, was like taking classes almost like you did when you were a child, like taking mm-hmm. ballet classes, or, I mean, I said pole dancing, which is not a child thing, but
you didn't do that
ceramics or like stuff like that. Like, things that, I mean, they can relate to work. I less so resonate with like the resume building, because I'm like not really working on building my resume. I mean, every day I work hard to add to that thing, but not in like the class. Like, I'm not taking like an Excel class.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But I do feel like if you're doing classes and things outside of work that are making you happy, similar with the high vibration things, you're going to come back to work. You're going to come to your friendships. You're going to come to your life and be happier and like have new skills. Yes. But also just like feel good about yourself for like trying something new. And like, that relates back to the friend thing too, like making new friends, like you're like honing in on your skills and you're building your circle and you're making yourself happier along the way.
Yeah. For me, I kind of knew what I wanted to do in terms of my career. Like, I'm interested in film and editing. But my first job was a PA position. So basically all I was doing was getting people coffees, getting people lunch, And
she did a damn good
and
job.
And it's like, I'm not really that important, but I took that opportunity to like learn how the process, like how to do everything and like just
what
how
it
everything
even looks
works.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I learned so much from that job, even though I wasn't really doing that much. It's like I kind of took that opportunity and I learned a lot from that. And I'm so glad I did it. And it's like a great entry level position. So now that when I move to my next job, I know more.
Yeah.
And I was going to say about developing new skills, like just that can be helpful. I'm thinking about it, I guess you can think about it in different ways, but I'm thinking about it like taking a guitar class or like writing mm-hmm. or just figuring out things that you actually don't monetize.
Yeah.
And try to figure out like what makes you actually happy. And that could help you figure out what you want to do. You know, a lot of people post-grad don't know what they want to do for a job. And just kind of really paying attention to the hobbies that light you up inside and leaning into that.
Yeah.
Like, what are the things that really make you happy? And then, yeah, I guess how could you do that as a job?
Like, even this podcast, like, this yeah. is something that I've been wanting to do with you guys forever. Like, I thought it was going to be so fun. I didn't know how to make a podcast. I didn't mm-hmm. even know what mic to buy. I didn't know any of the software. Thank God Zoo is here to help us. But I didn't know. Like, but I knew I wanted to do it. Like, I knew it made me happy. And
we're not going into it saying,
yeah. like, oh, we're going to make money. We're going to do all these ads and whatever. No, we're just like, this is something that I want to do outside of work that's building my skills, because now I know how to do a freaking podcast. Like, yeah. such a skill. Now I know how to, like, make conversation for 50 minutes. Like, that was really hard before. But it's like, I just feel so proud of myself for not only having my job, which I love. I do love my 9-to-5. But then also having, like, things outside of it that kind of feel like work a little bit, mm-hmm. but in a way that lights you up in a different way, you know?
I am, like, yeah. such an advocate. If you like writing poetry or something, like, go to an open mic night and perform it. Because that will make you feel yeah. so damn good. You'll meet people. If you like singing, you know, try to find a coffee shop where they're also doing, you know, a songwriting thing. Like, there's just so many ways that you can do what you love and develop your skills, yeah.
And I think it's also so important to recognize what you don't like. So,
yeah.
you know, maybe you try an office job and you realize that's not what you want to do. Or
yeah.
you work in person and you realize maybe I want to work remotely. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I want to work at a bar because I like having my days free. Or just, I think it's so important to yeah. fail, because then it yes. means that you're trying and it helps you realize what you do want to do.
Yeah. I remember when I worked at the agency, I also, which I don't know why I did this. This was like the craziest thing I did. But I worked at a coffee shop too, like on the weekends, because it was like something that brought me joy. Like, it was a skill. I learned how to make coffee from a machine. So that's a skill I'm learning. But also, like, when I was feeling so unfulfilled by my 9-to-5 life, I was like, what can I do to make myself happier? Maybe working more was not the answer. But I was like talking to people and I was like, I would so much rather do this all day, every day, work at this coffee shop, be able to talk to people, make new friends,
yeah.
make people happy with what I was yeah. doing. Like, also the instant gratification even of, like, giving somebody coffee. Like, I was like, here you go. I made your day better.
And you're probably also learning, like, people skills.
Exactly.
Like, how to, like, interact with humans.
Learning so much. And I was doing that. And then I would go to my 9-to-5 and be so unhappy. So not only was I building new skills, which I think is a great thing to do, I was like, not that I want to be a barista, but it's like I was doing something else that made me happy too. So...
No, I feel that also. I used to work at an arborist. My stepdad has an arborist company, and so I would work at that every now and then. And that's not what I want to do as
really?
A career. Yeah. But it taught me so much, like, hard work, like manual labor.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting in the work and interacting with strangers, and it taught me a lot. And yeah. teamwork.
Definitely.
And how to use a chipper.
Teamwork makes the dream work. And how to look hot in an arborist uniform.
Yeah. I mean, that's easy.
That was not hard for Zoo.
That was simple. This next one is move at your own pace.
Yes.
Ugh, it's so hard not to compare yourself to your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone seems to have it all figured out before you doesn't mean that you should feel lost. Our piece of advice for college graduates is this. Try to avoid making decisions based on where you think you should be. don't panic if you're not exactly where your friends are. The key is to do the right thing for you.
Yes.
I think that's so true.
Not anymore. Myself.
Yeah. Oh, I also think it's great because, okay, you guys, we're all in different fields, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I do social media marketing. G does acting, and you're a business owner. Zoo is, like, video and editing. So it's, like, we're all in, like, such different areas yeah. and, like, realms. So I never, I mean, I also don't just in general, but I never am comparing myself to you guys, which I think is so great. And even yeah. if, like, if anything happens to me at work, you guys are, like, the first ones to be like, yes, Cicely, go, 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 which I think allows me to, like, be moving at my own pace. Back to, like, my past relationship, the pressure was there of, like, what are you doing? This is what I'm doing. This is how much money I'm making. And I just felt this pressure to be there and meet them there. And they were 5 years older than me, 6 years older than me. And I was like, why am I not at their level? Babe, because you just fucking graduated college. Like, come on. Like, yeah. they have been out for, like, 6 years. So I do think, like, moving at your pace is such an important thing. And also it's like you can get just as far. I mean, slow and steady wins the race. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am just such a proponent of like everyone has their own, it sounds corny, journey, but like everyone has their own.
Is that
path.
A quote? Yes. Okay, so don't step on my toes.
Common quote of all time. Everyone has their own
so
path.
My therapist told me.
Yeah. Everyone has their own path.
Okay, so let's drop into the body.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody has those days.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody gets that way.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sometimes I'm in a trance.
So stream our single. Yeah.
We're just loving Miley Cyrus's new album.
I know. Go listen to it, you guys.
Oh, I don't think so she amazing. Needs our promo.
Yeah, she does. Did you see how many views we get? I'm just kidding.
Anyways.
Everyone has their own journey.
Everyone has their own path, and I think what's really cool about that is you can't like force anything to happen before it's your time. And our society is so set up on these things of like you go to college, and then you get a job, then you get an even better job, and then you get married, then you have kids. There's yeah. all of these timelines, and it is the silliest thing ever because we are all these like unique, special human beings, and we have our own path, and you can't compare it to anyone else's because what is meant to be for you will come when it's the right time for you, and you have to have yeah. faith in that. You have to trust that, and I just think it's kind of useless to compare yourself to anyone else's journey because yeah. that's theirs.
I mean, that's how I feel kind of with relationships. Like, I feel like it's so easy for me to look around, be like, oh, everyone's in a relationship, and mm-hmm. you know, people are going to start getting married soon. I mean, hopefully not
God,
so soon.
God, no. Are you kidding? No.
It's so easy to, like, see myself. And, yeah. you know, the years are going by. You're in your 20s
yeah,
now.
Oh, my God. You're 23, Zoo. Hurry up, you old lady.
Old girl. Old girl.
But it's so easy to, like, compare yeah, in that sense. Easy. And what I tell myself when I'm thinking that is, like, okay, maybe you're not in a relationship right now. But, you know, maybe in other senses, like, you are fulfilled in terms of maybe your work or you have great friends. And so maybe look at other ways that you are, quote unquote, succeeding.
Yeah. And I also feel like how you're saying you kind of get stuck in that. I like read this book where the guy was talking about how you can get trapped in like a maze. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's sometimes the maze that you can get trapped in is like, oh my God, my friends are doing this and they're here and I'm never going to get there. And I'm, like, you know, so behind everyone or whatever it is, relationships, work, friends, life. And just to, like, pull yourself back, like, zoom out of yeah. that perspective a little bit and get out of that maze, and you'll see that your life is so much bigger than these things, these, like, totem poles that really don't mean that much in the grand scheme of things. And, like you're saying, look at all of the things that are going well in your life.
Yeah.
And where you're happy.
Yeah, I think similar to that maze idea, I think, like you're saying, it can get so easy to be, like, stuck in these little moments. But it's, like, if we think about, like, where we were when we were about to graduate college, mm-hmm. none of us really knew what we exactly wanted to do or where our future was going. Like, you wanted to continue acting, but you didn't know where that was going to be, what that was going to look like. You knew you wanted to do editing. You didn't know what that was going to be, what that was going to look like. I knew I wanted to do, like, marketing, social media. I didn't know what that was going to be, what it was going to look like. But it's like, look at us now, you know, like we have just followed our own path, moved at our own pace, done things for ourselves that felt right. And it's so impressive to see where we are. Like, we're not uber duper successful in any means. I think we are, like, friendship wise and life wise. But it's just crazy because I do think day to day, I can be like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm mm-hmm. not working hard enough. I don't have enough money. I don't do this, or my job isn't whatever. And like to think about what I was thinking my future was going to look like and how scared I was for my future
yeah.
back when I was a senior in college of like, what is it going to be? Especially because COVID, but mm-hmm. what is it going to be? How am I going to get there? We have done so much and we have so much to feel grateful for and like accomplished by.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because day to day, like you can feel so bogged down by these maze things and getting stuck in this cycle of I'm not good enough or I'm not far enough or where mm-hmm. I should be. But it's like, if our senior year of college people could look at us now, we'd be so happy, you know? Yeah. And I think like sometimes, you know that TikTok thing where it's like, paste a picture of like you as a kid mm-hmm. on your bathroom yeah. mirror and then you'll have more compassion for yourself?
Yeah.
Like it's almost like every day you got to look at like so what you were doing when you were in college and then look at you now and just like be so proud of yourself and have so much more compassion.
Like when I yeah. was little, all my dream was just to live in New York.
Me too.
Literally.
So I've done that.
I know.
No, me too. And here we are.
And we're doing that. And that can be enough.
Yeah.
It totally can be. And I also think like even people that you think have it all together, like I do wonder if sometimes people look at like me, for example, because like I've been working since I was a kid. And so people might look at me and be like, oh, she really like, has it all together. And like, I am telling you, like I have felt so lost and I still feel like I don't have my shit together and I'm so lost. So I think like comparing yourself to people, yeah. like I'm just telling you, anyone that out there that you look up to who seems like they have their shit together, like, they probably don't feel that yeah. way. And I kind of like the idea of, like, leaning into feeling, like, lost and like, a little kind of confused about what you want to do or who you are because I'm about to quote SZA.
Oh shit. Give it to us.
In her song at the end, actually, it's not her. I don't think it's, like, it's a guy's voice that she's using. But he goes, if nobody wants you, you're free. And I think that is so beautiful. If you apply that, you can apply that to so many areas of your life. If no one wants you for a relationship, you're free.
Yeah.
If no one wants you for that job, you got rejected, you're free.
You're free.
Like, no matter what, you are free. And that's yeah. liberating in itself.
Yeah.
I feel like also I was so worried about what other people were going to think about me or like, oh, like, are my parents going to be proud of me or this job or whatever? And I think it's important to be like, what do I really want to do? And not think about how other people are perceiving you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think my parents have a lot of friends that I love them, but they're very traditional in like the way that they've lived life. And they're very traditional in their expectations for their kids and their loved ones. Maybe they grew up in suburbs, not saying anything bad about suburbs, but I think you look around yourself, especially in suburbs, and you're like, okay, all the kids are going to this school, they're going to this amazing college, and then they're going to go do this and work at this traditional job, and that's great if that works for them. But I remember that's where a lot of the pressure was coming from me when I was graduating, is yeah. my parents, they were being pressured by their friends, you know? And mm-hmm. I had to kind of, like, take that apart and be like, okay, it's not my parents pressuring me. It's this, like, idea and this, like, expectation that
society.
Their friends and their society and whatever yeah. has put on them to then ask me, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I am in a new generation. I am living my life in an entirely different time than my parents were when they were younger. And just because all of their friends did this and they equate success with having a job right out of college and making this much money and living in a city and wherever you're going to be, that doesn't mean that that's the right path for me.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Totally.
Oh.
Oh.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Totally.
Should we do the last one?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is a tricky one for me. Budgeting advice. As previously mentioned, it's important to find balance between your work life and personal life. In order to maintain your extracurricular activities, you will need to try to follow some budgeting advice. There's no greater feeling than receiving your first real paycheck, and you will have the urge to spend it. But be sure to take care of your bills and other financial obligations before you indulge in a new outfit or a fancy meal. And then they have some...
before you go to the vintage store, is in the Lower East Side.
They have some additional yeah. help links on managing your money and checkbook.
Oh.
One of them is called Fabulous and Broke. I think I relate most to that one.
I don't want to take advice from that. Oh, maybe no. I do, actually.
You're fabulous and broke.
Because you're going to be fabulous.
I don't think I have a lot of budgeting advice. I remember my mom when I graduated college and I was so worried about life and everything and money and supporting myself. She was like, I had no money when I was your age. Like, my mom, like, after college moved to, like, Nantucket and Hawaii. Like, she, like, lived her life. And she was a waitress. And then she kind of got into her career, like, 5 or 6 years later. And then started saving her money and whatever. But I remember she was like, I was like, I'm so worried about money. And, like, how am I going to support myself? And I didn't have a big savings leaving college and all this stuff. And she was like, just spend your money. Be able to pay your rent, your bills. But then don't feel like you have to, like, save all this money and, like, put all this emphasis on money. Like, your life in your 20s and for, like, a lot of your life is just living your life. And whatever that costs, obviously don't live without your means, but don't be so fixated. Outside of your means. Don't be so fixated on, like, saving money and retaining stuff and holding on to stuff, because it's your time to have fun. Yeah. And having fun sometimes costs a little bit of money.
I would say figure out your priorities, because for me, I knew that my priority was living in New York City, which is very expensive, but I knew I wanted to do it no matter what. And also eating out with friends. I really enjoy doing that, going to the movies, traveling. I know that I love traveling and I like putting aside money to do that. And so there are other ways that you can kind of compensate for that. So for me, I was like, okay, I can live in Brooklyn and have pay cheaper rent, live with roommates, and that will help me save money so that I can afford to do other things or take the train instead of Ubers. Like, there's ways that you can balance it out so that you can do the things that you want to do. So maybe sacrifice in areas that maybe you're willing to sacrifice in so that you're able to do things that you really value.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice. Prioritizing.
Yeah.
And, like, financial literacy in general, because they just don't teach that at all. Like, at all. So, I mean, there's courses you can take online that can help you with that. I mean, I was really interested in... This was actually after I graduated. I took an online course. I don't think I told you guys this, but, like, in stocks and stuff, because didn't know anything about that. And it's like, if you feel like insecure in a certain area, this could be anything. And when someone brings it up, you know, you kind of get embarrassed or you don't want to talk about it. You know, I was never, math was never my strong suit, but there's classes you can take online for free feel more confident in any of those areas. So don't just accept, like, ignorance, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you can educate yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's even, like, outside of college.
Even Jen M, she's like taking a history class.
I want to take a history class.
Like, history is so interesting to me, and I feel like I was too distracted by my middle school boyfriend to even pay attention, so I should go back and do that.
Yeah, I think it's also important, or something that I've realized, is that material things will not bring you happiness. I feel like so often I'm always thinking, oh, if I buy this new dress or if I get this fancy apartment, then I'll be happy. But you buy that dress and then you're just like, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
Or, are you saying my new Betsy Johnson dress is not going to make me happy?
It'll make you happy for
for the moment, for the Oscar party.
But it's like never enough.
Yeah.
And so just think twice about buying something because maybe it won't bring you happiness.
Yeah.
But I think it might. I'm just kidding. It might.
I think the prioritizing the money, like, or prioritizing, like, situations is, like, the best thing to do. You're like, okay, what makes me the most happy? Me, it's, like, the location of my apartment, like, where I'm at. Like, that's where I want to spend a lot of my money. And I like shopping.
Yeah.
And I like eating out with my friends. But I don't eat out with my friends at, like, nice, expensive restaurants. I'm, like, not spending that much money on that. So it's, like, I feel like I do things, like, I shop a little, like, but I always thrift shop. Like, I'm never, like, buying things new. My apartment's, is probably my biggest expense. And so once I pay that, then I kind of look at my money and I'm like, okay, what do I have room for this month? Like, maybe I can go get my nails done this month or whatever. I think it's also just, like, tuning into yourself too. Like, what do you need? Like, if I'm like, I need to see my girlies and I need to go get dinner with them because, like, that's going to make me so happy that I'm going to do that. And then the next day I cook it from home, you know, like, it's just balance.
Also, I was going to say, like, going back to the tip that they had about developing new skills, like, working on cooking, I think that can be such an important thing, because when you actually really like the food that you make for yourself and it's more inexpensive than going out to eat every night or Postmates, then you look forward to doing it and it's not such a chore or a hassle. And so then I think you choose it a lot of times over spending that money out.
Cooking.
And then this is, like, so silly, but it's kind of true. Like, crocheting or knitting clothes and literally things, or like learning how to sew and like upcycling your clothes, or doing a ceramics class. You can make yourself like a bunch of like bowls and stuff. There's so many ways to like develop your skills that then I think can benefit your life.
My favorite like thing, I mean, today I didn't follow it, it's Saturday and I went out all day, but one of my favorite things recently is just like taking my Saturdays to just stay in my apartment like all day long. Go get a coffee, go work out in the morning if I want to, and then like come home and like do something that makes me really happy that like doesn't cost money. So I'll like knit or I'll sew or I'll like embroider and I'll like watch a TV show and then I'll go in my fridge and be like, okay, what food do I have? And then I'll like make it a challenge to make myself dinner or like lunch.
I love doing that
with just like only a few ingredients, like use the end of my groceries, and then Sunday I usually go grocery shopping.
I do that like everything but the kitchen sink.
Yes.
Like dinner where you're just like, okay, so I have one cucumber, half of
I know. Literally tonight I am like so excited to go home and just cook dinner, but I am going out of town tomorrow for a week, so I haven't grocery shopped in like a week, a really long time. And I have half a sweet potato.
Okay.
A carrot.
Okay.
Some quinoa. And that's it. So what I'm going to do.
Like a curry?
Yeah. No, I'm going to do like, I don't have like any dry goods either, but I have pasta.
Ooh.
So I'm going to cook some pasta, get the sweet potatoes on, sauteed with the carrots, and then put that into the pasta.
Okay,
And then have like, I have butter. I'm going to do a butter sauce, and I have lemon. So I'm going to do a butter, lemon, and I have rosemary sauce.
Really,
like, I've just been thinking, like, that's what makes me so happy.
It's a fun challenge.
And it's literally like, I already paid for those groceries. I'm not wasting them. No. So it's so fun. And I'm saving money.
That's really funny.
I just downloaded this new app called Oops. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
It's actually so interesting. This is like more of a practical budgeting advice, but basically it shows you like your purchases that you've made, and then you are able to like categorize it. Not sponsored.
I think I've seen that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's actually so helpful just being aware of where you are spending your money, because I think it's so easy when you're just using your credit card to just like be like, oh, yep, paying for that, swipe, swipe, swipe. But just being aware of like where you're putting your money, and once you see it on a screen or on paper, you're like, oh, wow, I've spent so much money on coffee or Ubers or whatever.
Have you noticed? Like, have you used it long enough yet to see where it is?
I don't think I've not yet. But I think I have noticed, like, oh, I'm really eating out a lot. Like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should be cooking at home more. Or
but then you can kind of compare and be like, okay, since you don't have, like, a grocery store really close to you and, like, you're getting food from, like, the bodegas and stuff, if you don't go to Trader Joe's, like, that's expensive. And so you can compare and be like, okay, this month I really ate from home a lot, but it was maybe more expensive because I was going to this like bodega that was a little more, like, you can really like,
it's also, my God, helped it's like data. With like my shopping habit, because I feel like I was shopping a lot, and you don't realize how quickly that can add up, or like those small expenses can add up.
Girl, so, go to Sephora. You'll see.
I know.
That's like
you get three things and it's like $97.33. I'm like,
That's the test subject for how small things can add up.
I know.
But I also feel like I'm the kind of person where it's like, okay, if I buy one thing, like, I've already bought one thing, so I might as well buy everything.
Yeah.
And I think having like a monthly budget of, you can treat yourself, like, go get your nails done, go buy a fancy dinner, but don't exceed that. Like, don't go crazy.
That kind of reminds me of like when people get themselves on a diet and then they quote unquote cheat.
Yeah.
I hate that word, but they eat something that they were restricting, and then so they just decide,
oh, it's like binging.
Fuck it.
It's binging. Yeah.
I'm just gonna eat all the things that I wasn't supposed to eat. And I kind of feel like that's similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can treat yourself and not make it a huge deal, and then go on with your life. Like, you don't have to fall apart. You can just, okay, did that, and then now let's keep sticking onto my schedule.
I think it's also about feeling guilty. Like, oh, I feel so guilty, so I'm just gonna like keep going.
Guilt and shame are just like the worst feelings ever.
Yeah.
And they are so freaking unproductive.
I think guilt and shame also breed like, what is the word when you're like pushing it off of yourself, like not defiance, but
avoid
like deflecting. It like breeds like deflecting, and there's like a more harsh verb for that.
Wait, projecting or no? What are you trying to say?
It's like you're
Defensive.
It's okay. Like you're getting like really defensive. And so like when you have shame and you have guilt, that's when you get defensive. And so it's like with shopping or with spending money, if you have shame or guilt around spending money, then I see myself, I'm like, I get defensive. I'm like, no, it's okay. I can do it. No, it's fine. Like I'm okay. Like, and then I don't look at my bank account because I feel guilty, shame
so guilty
and bad. And then I'm like, I can still go out. Like it's okay. And it like breeds this like weird cycle. Yeah.
And then you go on the other end of like, okay, I'm going to save everything.
Yeah.
And then you make one mistake and you feel guilty and then you're caught in this cycle. So I think like just realize, like just look at what you're spending and don't feel bad about it and let yourself have a treat every now and then. And
yeah.
Easier said than done.
But. I downloaded this app too. I don't remember what it was called, but it was like showed all your subscriptions for things.
Oh yeah.
That's when like my rent went up and I was like, what am I spending my money on? Yeah. And I went through it and it was so interesting. I was paying like $40 a month for Adobe. I'd never used Adobe. Like all these different things. Like, and I went through and I deleted it. Like even like pills that I was like buying, I didn't even realize that they were getting delivered to like my home address. Like
pills?
No, like vitamins or like him or whatever. Like those, I was like getting those delivered somewhere. I'm like, I'm not even getting these. So I was like, what the hell? Like it's just being aware of where your money is going to.
All those companies, they get your credit card info.
And they just send it out.
Yeah. I don't know.
My last thing, I don't know what I'm talking about, but all I'm going to say is the last thing is I was so scared to graduate college and I was so nervous and I am so happy.
Yeah.
So there we go.
That you graduated?
No, I'm just so happy post-grad.
Oh, you're saying afterwards.
I mean, yeah, like, I'm so happy I graduated.
It gets better.
But even if you don't have it figured out, like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, no one has it figured out. You're fine.
I think we're going to get to 40 and we're going to re-listen to this podcast.
Are you kidding? Of course.
Like, yeah. Oh my God. We still don't know what the hell we're doing. So, yeah, I don't think anyone's... I think that's the point of the game. Like, I think the point of life is, like, you're always figuring it out. Like, that's the thing. You're making mistakes, learning from them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. So I think... If you ever think you're going to have it figured out,
then you're wrong. You're
already, check like, again.
You're already going to feel, you're just always going to feel like a failure. Yeah. So I don't think you're ever going to. And all this like shit on TikTok, you know, the clean girl aesthetic or like, I mean, this is a bigger conversation, but like people like pretending or maybe they are getting up at 6 a.m. and like working out and making people feel shitty about themselves. Like that's not real.
Yeah.
And that also doesn't define like a good, happy, productive life. That looks different for different people.
And it's okay not to be okay. No, but seriously, like, if you're not in a great place right now, that's totally fine. Yes. And you're going to get through it.
And you have us every Sunday to pep you up.
Yeah. We are your greatest supporters.
So with that, thank you guys for listening.
Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday.
See you next Sunday. We're really holding ourselves to Sunday. So
and
kisses.